Actually started up.
Okay, we have Parshas Bamidbar, which is the parasha, always the parasha, or what parasha before the parasha of Matan Torah. There's one very, very fascinating medrash I just want to base ourselves on, as follows. The pasuk says, "Ba'oisayis beis avoisom yachnu bnei Yisrael." Now, "Ba'oisayis beis avoisom yachnu bnei Yisrael" can mean one of two things, right? Either Ba'oisis the Beis Avoisom means according to the sign that they got from Yaakov Avinu's home. Yeah? In other words, each one, Reuven got a sign, Shimon got a sign, according to that. Rashi says, Ba'oisis the Beis Avoisom, Ba'oisha Mosalehem Yaakov Aviem Keshenosuhu Mimitzrayim. The sign that Yaakov Avinu gave them when they left Mitzrayim. Shnema, Ve'yasu bon of Loi Kein Kashet Sivom. Like he did as he commanded. What's Pshat? Yehuda of Yisachar of Yisvulun Yisum in a Mizrach. Yehuda and Yisachar Yisvulun go carry Yaakovina's mitzvah from the Mizrach side. Reuven Mishumim Begodmin Adorim. And look at the Medrash Tanchuma. Okay. So in other words, according to Rashi, for Oisus of Beis Avoisom is not just the sign that they had, like Reuven has a sign of Prochim and Shimon, and that he'd be able to identify the qualities of each one, and to identify the strength of each one, and that is what the sign they had on the Degel. But it was more about the order of Yaakov Avinu, that he put them in a particular order when left Mitzrayim. That order remained with them all the way through the Midbar. So there's a very, very fascinating Medrash Tanchuma. The Medrash Tanchuma says as follows: Lo Yehoya Tzorich Leima Ela Ish Al Diglo Yachnu Bnei Yisrael. All they had to say was, each one on their degel, each one on their tribe, Klal Yisrael should rest. What does it mean, ba'oisois, with the sign? Elo, b'shor shenifta Yaakov Avinu min ha'olam. When Yaakov Avinu was dying, Omar Labonov, he said to his children, "Meshachavti ma'voisov, I want you to carry me out to my and bury me in Eretz Yisrael." Omar lehem, and he said to them, and that is where he organized, Yehuda v'Yisachar Zvulun, carry my mitzvah from the Mizrach, Reuven Shimon God, you carry from the Dorum, Dovah Osh Naphtali from the Tzofen, Binyam and Ephraim Nashe, carry from the Marav. Now, so that is what Yaakov Avinu already organized. Carries on a Medrash, Kevin Shiyotsu Yisomim Mitzrayim. Once Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hare HaShor Shiyasid Degolim, Kishem Shebisron Aviem Shem Asidin Lasid Degolim. In other words, just like Yaakov Avinu had prepared them then, by the time when he took them out of Mitzrayim, when they left Mitzrayim in order to go up to Eretz Yisrael, in that same formation, that same model, that is a time now to put them back into that model that he put them in that case. Miyad Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, asay oisom de golem nishmi. Make that same pattern, make that same grouping that was done for my name, like he did, Yaakov did for his name, do for my name. Miyad Omad Moshe Vehiskel Meitzah. Moshe Rabbeinu began to hiskel meitzah. He's got to be perturbed. Yeah, he was worried. Why? Omer achshav asidol machlekes leinosim ben ashvatim. That's it. Now it's going to be machlekes. Why? Im oimel leshevi yehud elishrei for mizrach, for oimeli eevshili ela bedorim. Yeah, it's not easy. Jews are not the easiest people to make happy in shul. You tell him to stand in a mizrach, he wants a dorim. And he wants a dorm, he wants a tzofen. And now you can start moving everything around. V'chein achem ki yotzevo yisheva v'sheva each lady and tell them where to stand. Come on. You're dealing here with Klal Yisrael, Rabbeinu Shleilam. Omala HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Moshe, mach batlecho. What do you care? Heim einam tzrichim lecho v'dobah zeh. I don't need you for this. Why? Shema atzman heim akirin dirofen. Because they themselves know their place. Lamash sivas aviem beyodom heich lishreif bedegolim. How they were supposed to be with their degolim now was exactly prepared for them by Yaakov Avinu. Eini mechadish lehem dovo shekvar yesh lehem tachsim ben Yaakov Avinu. Everything's already been prepared. You're not designing anything new. You're not inventing anything new. Just go back to the old form that it was then. Kishem shekifus matosik tach yakifus a mishkon. The way there was in a mishkon. That's how the way it was done by the bed of Yaakov Avinu. That's how it should be done now. So, Rabbi Yisrael, let's understand this carefully. So there's a couple of very interesting nekudas over here. The Chedusha Halev, which is Reb Henoch Lebowitz, comes out and he says he doesn't quite understand this. He says, we're dealing here with a nevuah from a Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't argue, doesn't negotiate with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to tell Klal Yisrael to do this mitzvah, he does it. Why suddenly over here was Moshe Rabbeinu so worried about Klal Yisrael not listening to him, and how's it going to be, and how's it going to play itself out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to tell him everything's going to be fine? Why is this different to any other mitzvah? Right, dealing with kovod, but there's other elements of kovod as well. There's a kovod that we have the Leviim that are more mechubad than any part of Klal Yisrael. So why over here is this different? And also, did Moshe Rabbeinu not realize that this pattern had already been performed in the past? In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, just do exactly the way it was. Moshe Rabbeinu knew history well. Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Messiah of Klal Yisrael. He must have known that when Yaakov Avinu was on his deathbed, he must have told the Shvatim to be exactly in that formation. He must have known that. He must have known it was a huge world event when he left Mitzrayim. Exactly how they were, all the different kings put their crowns down in Gur Naatad. It was a fantastically well-known event. Yaakov Avinu must have known exactly how to do it. Moshe Rabbeinu must know exactly what was done. So what was he saying? And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know this. What's the idea behind this? What is the du-siach? What's the conversation over here? So he says, the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was that there's kovod involved here. And when there's kovod involved, it's very difficult for a person to think straight. There's enormous amount of persons willing to give up for the sake of kovod. There's enormous amount of persons willing to give up for the sake of negiyus. When a person's negiyah b'dover, when a person feels that he is at risk of losing something, whether it's imagined or real, a person generally does not behave and does not think in a way that is absolutely straight. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to Rabbeinu Shleilam, how are we going to tell Klal Yisrael to do what they're supposed to do? How are we going to do them? There's negiyus. He wants dafka on this side, that's a skula for this, and that's a skula for that. How are we going to get Klal Yisrael to fall into line when we tell them to behave in this way? They have negiyus. And negiyus is something that can break more than any other command in the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, put on tefillin, there's no negiyus. But when it comes to kovod, and when it comes to position, and you take a guy from Mizrach and put him in Maariv, and Maariv and put him in Mizrach, that you're dealing here with something that is not necessarily going to be accepted. That you're dealing here with a very, very delicate situation. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to me carefully. Tell Klal Yisrael to go in the same formation they were when they left Mitzrayim. What's the day behind that? With Yaakov Avinu, what's the day behind that? There was no negiyus. There was no Mishkan, or being closer to the Mishkan, further from the Mishkan, there's no negiyus. Try and remind Klal Yisrael what it was like when they left with Yaakov Avinu, and they behaved themselves, and everything worked out then. Try and bring back their mind to a situation where there is no negiyus. There was no negiyus then, they just told by Yaakov Avinu, there was no kovod involved there, they did as they were told. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do we deal with this as negiyus? Answers HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what you have to do to get out of negiyus is posh to bring yourself in a situation where you try and understand what your mind would be doing where there is no negiyus. Take yourself out of the picture. Try and draw yourself out of the picture. Try and get your covered out, and that is how Klal Yisrael will be able to behave in that way. So Moshe Rabbeinu, of course he knew that was what happened then. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, in any negiyus, get yourself out of that picture. The famous Maisa in Navi, what's the famous Maisa? With Nosan HaNavi, goes to David HaMelech. And he gives him a moshel. And he says to him, he tells him this whole story about a wealthy man who takes a little kibsah from the Oni. And he asks, what's the din of this? Why didn't Nosan HaNavi just come to David HaMelech and say, David HaMelech, not the seder? Not right, he took a wife from somebody, a regular person, how can you do that? Because the answer is, because David HaMelech, David HaMelech, yeah, the great David HaMelech, even he would perhaps not see the picture clearly if he would be involved. And therefore, he had taken out of the picture, judge according to the way it was, with no negiyus, and then bring it back into it. That's exactly what happened here. Very, very often we're taken up with negiyus. Very often we're taken up with agenda, with personal ideas of what we feel is important. We have to take ourselves out of the picture. Very briefly, I just want to say, that is what Pshat is. The Cheskiel Khan says, the Manal of Gateshead says, that why is it that the parasha begins with Bamidbar? So he says, Bamidbar is before the Torah is given, just like a Midbar. Yeah, the Loshen is. Lama b'midbar Sinai. Mekan shomach chachamim, says the Medrash. Gimel devar nitna haTorah. Torah given in three different positions: Eish, Mayim, and Midbar. Why no three things? Just that those three things are bechinam, the whole world. Eish, Mayim, water is not so bechinam, but those three things are not expensive things. So too, havitz katzom lechamayim. Look at Torah as if it's something that's cheap and run after it. Ask Rav Cheskiyahu Elezakan, the Menahal of Gates said, doesn't understand. The Medrash asks, Lomo b'midbar Sinai, why midbar Sinai? And he says, because the Torah is teaching us that Torah is there for midbar Sinai, and it's going to be like a midbar, and Eish, a Mayim, a midbar. But it doesn't talk anything about Eish, a Mayim, and the Pasuk. It all talks about midbar. So how on earth do you learn from midbar, Eish, Mayim, and midbar? From him, he can't, from the Pasuk that's given in the midbar, you learn Eish, a Mayim, and midbar. Don't say any Eish, a Mayim, and the midbar. So he says, the idea is as follows. He says, Eish is the kliach of the enthusiasm to do something. That is a go up, get up and do it, the kumbah saved. That is a positive mitzvah sase. On the other hand, we have the exact opposite, and we have the mayim, the cooling off. Calm down. That is where a person should be using their sheval tase. Don't do avarus. But sometimes, we're not clear whether we should be standing up, or where should we be sitting down? Where should we be enthusiastic, or whether we should be holding back? I'm going to tell this person, give a person a piece of my mind. Maybe sometimes it's a mitzvah, sometimes it's an avera. Sometimes it should, sometimes you shouldn't. Sometimes you should be running off of... How exactly do you know? How do you know when it's an eish or when it's a mime? The teretz is that a person always has to try and think every decision based on midbar. Midbar is a mokim hefka. Hefka means there's nobody living there, there's no agenda, I'm being objective over here. When you have midbar, you know exactly when to use eish and mime. That is the cornerstone of being able to have a sensible approach to life, is to introduce Chol HaTorah Kula as a midbar. To be able to take yourself out of the picture like a mokum hefka, and then know when to use the eish and when to use the mayim. So that's the first way of understanding this concept over here of this medrash and how it fits in to Yaakov Avinu and leaving Mitzrayim. But there is another very, very powerful thought, and try and fit this in the next 5 minutes. And that is that it's very easy to be controlled and to be careful the way one behaves in a situation where one is not being challenged, where a person is not being antagonized, where a person is not being threatened. A person can behave very nicely. A person behaves very nicely. Where things get difficult is where pressure begins, where one's out of one's routine, where one's out of one's area, one's saviva, and that is where sometimes things fall apart. You know, some of the greatest, you know, you see it in the airport. People lose it. People completely lose it. And why? Because they're out of their comfort zone. They're out of their home. They're not sure when they're going and when they're coming. They feel threatened. And it's something that's very difficult for a person to control. Ask, says Moshe Rabbeinu, to Rabbeinu Shleilam. Rabbeinu Shleilam, it's wonderful to have Seder. You're telling Klal Yisrael to have the Golem. You're telling Klal Yisrael to be in order, to march in this way, and he starts here, and you go on the left, and you go on the right, and everything goes in order. And that's wonderful. But that's only wonderful until there's chaos. Until things get tough in the midbar, and whether there's hunger, or where there's thirst, or where there's machlekas, and everything's going to fall apart. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is the point of putting them in this formation if under any pressure they're going to fall apart? Says Rabbeinu Shleilam, you don't have to worry about that. But when Yaakov Avinu was dying, the Bechir HaOvis was dying, where there's a time where there's enormous amount of uncertainty. There's uncertainty. What's going to happen without Yaakov Avinu? What's Mitzrayim going to look like? How are we going to manage? There's uncertainty there. With all that chaos, with all that fear, with all that not knowing really what's going on, there was perfect order. Reuven stood here, your lady stood there, Yehuda stood there, everything was in perfect order. So Moshe Rabbeinu was answered by Kodesh Baruch Hu, don't worry, Klal Yisrael knows that you don't crack under pressure. Even when there's leaving, Yaakov Avinu is dying, there was a perfect formation, nobody cracked. And therefore you don't have to worry, Klal Yisrael will be able to survive. In the Holocaust, we saw how Klal Yisrael, the amazing quality that Klal Yisrael had under the most enormous pressure. There's mices of a commandant calling in his Jew, and his Jew knows that's it. It's judgment day. It's all over. So he'd go around and he'd see somebody who needed a coat, and he'd give his coat to Yankel, whose coat was very thin. And he saw Yitzchakul, his shoes were broken. He'd take off his shoes and give it to him. He doesn't need his shoes anymore. And then he's got his last piece of bread. He saw somebody who's starving, give his last piece of bread. And he'd go into the commandant and say, Shema Yisrael, finished. And the commandant, for some reason, true miser, the commandant, for some reason, let him go. And he comes back out and he takes off his shoe and said, I can't keep it, they're yours. And he takes off his coat and gives it to him. And he gives his piece of bread. I kept it just in case he'd come back. These are people who don't crack under pressure. But Derech Melitza, as a sort of tongue-in-cheek, there's a vault that Rabbi Twersky brings down, and he says, Kashiyachnu Kenisol. Kashiyachnu Kenisol. The way that they encamp, so shall they journey. In other words, they kept in the camp according to that formation when they camp, or they're in that area the way they traveled. He says, unfortunately, there is a concept that people have that there's a certain two levels of Judaism we have. We have a Judaism when we are at home, and we have kosher shops and kosher mahadrin restaurants and everything else. And there is a second class of Judaism that we have, we practice when we are traveling. And we go to sort of Hechsher and they're not really too happy about. And we compromise on our levels of sneers or kashrus. You may, so he says, so he brings over here Rabbi Shur Trunk from Kutna. It's a Chiddush Rebbe. He says, Kashiyachnu Kenisol. The way you rest, so you shall travel. Don't have two different levels of Judaism. In other words, even when things get under pressure, make sure you retain those qualities. He says that one rabbi, a certain rebbe, he said he went to a spa location, and he was very, very shocked by the way some people were behaving. So he said, it reminds him of a Gemara. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that Kodesh Baruch Hu left the Chamei Tveria there to remind us of what it's like in the time of the hot springs, to remind us what it's like in the time of the bubble. So what's the connection? So he says, people can think to themselves, why did Kodesh Baruch Hu turn over the whole world? Kodesh Baruch Hu turned over the whole world. How bad could these people have been in the time of the Mabul? So Kodesh Baruch Hu leads in spa locations to get a little bit of an idea of how bad things can really be. And that's why you see how they behave by the spa, you can understand how things terrible things are in the time of the Mabul. In other words, there cannot be a situation where you have two different levels. We've got to contain and restrain ourselves and be on that level all the way through. That's Shukriya for Abu Sa'id. Thank you very much.